Okay, let's unpack this. For a long time, I think, well, like many of you listening, I definitely held on to this idea, diversify beyond China and you automatically cut your import costs. It just seemed like common sense, right?
Seemed like it, yeah. Find cheaper labor, dodge those high tariffs. Simple.
But what we're actually seeing in 2025, it just completely shatters that whole assumption, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And what's really striking here is the big reveal.
Meh.
U.S. import tariffs on custom metal parts from Vietnam are now hitting, well, as high as 71% to a really staggering 96%.
96%. Wow.
Yeah. And here's the kicker: imports from China. They're currently facing a reduced temporary 30% tariff. There's a trade truce going on.
Whoa. Okay. So it's a complete flip.
A total few.
Hit the nail on the head. That is the core surprising thing right there. I mean, just think about that for a second. Your whole strategy, the one that led you to Vietnam to avoid costs and risk, that strategy could actually be costing you more right now than sticking with China, temporarily at least.
Exactly. It's like the ground rules have just been completely rewritten.
So what does this all mean for your bottom line, for, your actual sourcing strategy day to day?
Right. And that's what this deep dive is all about. We're going to take the information you've brought us, the situation on the ground, and try to turn it into, well, a clearer action plan. We need to pull apart what's really driving this kind of crazy shift. And crucially, how you listening right now can actually manage the serious risks and, frankly, the costs involved in this completely new reality.
It's about updating your playbook, basically.
Exactly. Updating your playbook for a world that seems to be changing faster than ever.
Okay, so this dramatic reversal, it really seems to start with Vietnam. For years, they were kind of the go-to, the reliable, lower-cost alternative to China.
Undisputed champion for cost savings, for sure.
So what happened? What specifically made Vietnamese metal parts suddenly get so expensive?
Well, what really stands out here is the specific mechanism. In mid-2025, the U.S. slapped on this massive 46% reciprocal tariff.
Reciprocal, meaning like a tit for tat thing.
Pretty much. Think of it as a retaliatory tax. The U.S. basically saying, look, you're hitting our good with high duties, so we're hitting yours right back. It was framed as a direct response to trade imbalances with Vietnam. And yes, custom steel parts are definitely included.
Okay, 46%. That's already huge, but it gets worse, right?
It does. That 46% isn't sitting there alone. It actually stats on top of the existing Section 232 tariffs.
Ah, Section 232. Those are the national security ones on steel and aluminum everyone's been dealing with.
That's them. The ones that added, what, 25% to 50% on basically all steel and aluminum imports, regardless of where they came from initially.
So wait, you add 46% to potentially 50%, you're getting up towards 96%?
You are, for some specific metal parts, you're not just adding a new tariff. You're practically hitting this almost unbelievable 96% total duty.
That's almost doubling your cost before the part even leaves the Vietnamese
It's
factory.
a massive burden. And these changes, they mostly kicked in around July 1st, 2025. Now, there was a bit of an adjustment later. That original 46%, it got tweaked down to 20% for what they called compliant goods.
Compliant goods. What does that mean exactly?
It generally means goods where the origin is clearly Vietnam and they aren't suspected of, say, transshipment.
Ah, okay. So the risk is still there if things aren't squeaky clean.
Oh, absolutely. The underlying risk remains high, especially if your parts get flagged for transshipment, meaning they suspect it started somewhere else, like China, or if they simply fail the origin verification checks at customs. So yeah, it firmly puts Vietnam in this position of having demonstrably higher tariffs than China right now.
A complete reversal. Okay.
Total reversal of that cost advantage they held for years.
So that's the new, rather painful reality for Vietnam sourcing. But just when you think you've got a handle on it, China throws a curveball.
Always does, doesn't it?
Yeah, the irony here is after years of everyone bracing for even higher tariffs on Chinese goods, maybe triple digits, Chinese metal parts are kind of surprisingly cheaper right now. How on earth did that happen?
It really is counterintuitive, isn't it, given all the trade war rhetoric? But yeah, in 2025, Chinese metal parts are seeing this temporary reduction. It's because of a short-term trade truce.
A truce.
Yeah, a sort of pause in hostilities, if you will. And that's brought the total tariffs down to roughly 30% for a 90-day period.
90 days. Okay, that's key. Not permanent.
Definitely not permanent. It's a strategic pause.
Still, 30%, that's a huge drop from what people were expecting or even paying recently from China. But it's really important to stress, right? The underlying tariffs. So Section 232 ones on steel, the Section 301 tariffs aimed at, unfair trade practices, those are still legally on the books. They haven't gone away.
Precisely. They still apply. This reduction is absolutely a pause, like you said. It's not a fundamental change in the underlying trade policy framework.
So don't get too comfortable with 30% from China.
Exactly. This is a very specific window. Unless something changes, unless it gets extended, that rate is going to climb right back up once the 90-day truce ends. But, you know, for now, this temporary dip has actually shifted some sourcing strategies back towards China. We're hearing about it.
Really? Even with the uncertainty?
Yeah, especially for maybe short-term orders or projects where the margins are just incredibly thin and that tariff difference really matters right now.
It's like a game of tariff whack-a-mole, isn't it?
That's a good way to put it. Just when you think you've got one problem figured out, another pops up, or maybe an old one briefly disappears, only to come back later.
Okay, now here's where it gets, I think, really interesting and super important for anyone actually trying to manage this. The whole issue around transshipment rules and the risks involved.
Uh-huh. Critical stuff.
We heard the story, a real-world example, right? A U.S. customer, they had a shipment from Vietnam detained at customs. Held up.
Yeah.
And the reason U.S. Customs traced the parts back to a billet like the raw metal stock that originated in China. Apparently, only minor machining was done in Vietnam.
And that right there highlights this crucial point about origin. If a product is substantially made in China, and it only undergoes some minor assembly, or maybe just a simple finishing process in Vietnam, it simply does not qualify as Vietnamese origin under U.S. rules. It's still considered Chinese for tariff purposes.
Okay, so it doesn't count as Vietnamese. But what's the consequence? Just paying the China rate?
Well, it can be worse than that. And here's the really crucial part. Goods identified as transshipped like that, they can trigger a really painful 40% penalty tariff on top of whatever other duties might apply.
40% just as a penalty. Ouch.
Ouch is right. It's a significant financial hit designed specifically to discourage this kind of duty evasion.
Okay, so this raises the big question. What exactly counts as substantial transformation? What makes something genuinely Vietnamese versus just, you know, passing through?
That's the million-dollar question, or maybe the 40% question.
Okay,
It's definitely more than just putting it in a new box or slapping a Made in Vietnam label on it. Customs isn't easily fooled by simple stuff.
So, like, simple packaging, labeling, maybe drilling a few holes, that's not enough.
Generally, no. Things like simple packaging, labeling, maybe some basic drilling, minor assembly of pre-made components, or just cosmetic surface treatments like painting. Those are usually considered insufficient. They don't fundamentally change the nature or origin of the product.
Okay, so what does count then? What's considered valid transformation?
What customs officials are looking for is genuine manufacturing, real transformation of the material. So think about taking a raw billet of steel or aluminum and using CNC milling to create a complex finished part. That usually counts.
Right, because you're fundamentally changing its form and function.
Exactly. Or performing a significant chemical process. Or maybe alloying, like heat treating steel, to meet a completely new specification, changing its actual properties. That's transformation.
Okay, so it's about a significant change in character, name, or use.
That's a good summary. Your supplier really needs to demonstrate that deep transformation happened in Vietnam, not just a quick pit stop for the goods.
And how do you prove that to avoid that massive 40% penalty?
Proof is key. Your supplier must be able to prove full manufacturing occurred in Vietnam. And that means having documentation, like proper material traceability records showing where the raw materials came from and detailed transformation logs showing the actual manufacturing steps performed there.
Got it. Documentation is everything.
Absolutely crucial.
Okay, so given all this, the high Vietnam tariffs, the temporary China dip, the transshipment penalties, what does this mean for your sourcing playbook, for the listener? With tariffs changing so fast, it feels like everyone needs to update their strategies, right?
Absolutely. The old assumptions are out the window. The core tactics now really boil down to a few key things. You've got to ensure full transformation is happening in Vietnam if you source there. You need rock-solid origin documentation. You have to monitor tariff changes constantly. And realistically, you probably need to be actively diversifying your sourcing beyond just those two countries.
Okay, let's maybe dig into those strategies a bit more. You mentioned five key ways.
Yeah, let's break them down. First, and this ties directly to the transshipment risk we just discussed, ensure substantial transformation. This means you have to actively choose suppliers in Vietnam who are genuinely performing the final significant manufacturing steps, the machining, the forming, the heat treatment.
And actively avoid the ones who might just be assembling parts made elsewhere or simply repackaging Chinese content?
Precisely. You need to verify what they're actually doing.
Okay, strategy one, verify real manufacturing. What's number two?
Number two, document origin thoroughly. This is absolutely vital. You need to require, like, demand from your supplier things like bills of materials, BOMs, clear origin declarations, and critically, mill certificates or material certs that specifically show Vietnamese sources for the raw material.
And you can't just take their word for it, I guess.
Probably not wise in this climate. You should seriously consider conducting your own factory audits or hiring a trusted third-party inspection firm to go in and verify their processes and paperwork.
Okay, so thorough documentation and verification, that makes sense. Third strategy.
Third, leverage tariff schedule awareness. This gets a bit technical, but it's important. Use the Harmonized Tariff Schedule, the HTS codes, correctly. Some codes genuinely have lower duty rates than others, even for similar products.
So classifying your part under the right code could actually save you money?
Potentially, yes. But it has to be the correct code. And critically, you need to recheck that HTS classification anytime you make a change to the product design, because that could shift it into a different category with a different duty rate.
Good point. Okay, fourth strategy.
Fourth. Use trade programs or exemptions. Look for ways to legally minimize duties. For instance, if you're only importing small quantities or samples, you might be able to ship them under the de minimis rule.
Yeah, the Section 321 de minimis under $800 value per shipment usually bypasses duties, right?
That's the one. Currently $800. It's great for small orders, prototypes, things like that. Doesn't work for large volume, obviously. Also, keep an eye out for any specific trade programs or temporary exclusions that might pop up, offering relief for imports from Vietnam. These things can change.
Worth monitoring. Okay, and the fifth strategy.
And finally, number five, split sourcing between countries. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, basically. Especially for higher volume orders, it might make sense now to consider dual sourcing. Maybe some from Vietnam, some from another ASEAN country like Thailand or Malaysia, maybe even looking seriously at Mexico.
Mexico, interesting, because of USMCA.
Exactly. Mexico often offers lower or zero tariffs thanks to the USMCA trade agreement, plus shorter shipping times. But, you know, there are trade-offs.
Like, what are the pros and cons of these different strategies? Let's take split sourcing first.
Right. Split sourcing, say, between Vietnam and Mexico. The big win could be a lower average duty cost across your total volume. Plus, diversification reduces risk if one country suddenly faces new issues.
But the downside?
The downside is definitely increased logistics complexity. Managing multiple suppliers, multiple shipping routes, potentially different quality standards, it adds overhead. And lead times from Mexico might still be longer than Asia for some complex parts, despite the closer proximity.
Okay, what about the strategy of ensuring full transformation in Vietnam? Benefit and risk.
The main benefit is, if done right and documented perfectly, you can avoid those nasty Section 301 tariffs aimed at China, and potentially the transshipment penalties. You're legitimately importing a Vietnamese product.
The hurdle.
The hurdle is the rigorous verification needed. You need absolutely ironclad proof of origin that will satisfy customs. It requires diligence.
And using third-party inspectors or auditors.
Benefit. It definitely eases the customs clearance process. Having that independent report can smooth things over. Risk. It obviously adds cost to your sourcing process. You're paying for that inspection.
And HTS code awareness. Getting the classification right.
Benefit. Potential for significantly lower duty if a more favorable code genuinely applies. Risk, you must be accurate. Misclassifying goods, even unintentionally, can lead to penalties and delays if caught.
Makes sense. So, summing up this strategy section, the key takeaway seems to be you don't necessarily have to just abandon Vietnam overnight.
No, not necessarily. But you absolutely do need to fundamentally rethink how you qualify the origin of your goods and how meticulously you document everything.
The old days of just comparing base price quotes and assuming Vietnam is cheaper are definitely over.
Long over. It's about intelligent, informed navigation now. Proactive risk management.
So wrapping this up then, the big picture, Vietnam is no longer that simple tariff-free haven people thought it was.
Not at all. And while Chinese parts might look temptingly cheaper right now, that comes with huge caveats about the temporary nature and the underlying risks still being there. Vigilance is key.
So our advice to you, the listener, really know these rules, know them inside and out, diligently verify the origin of your parts, audit your supply chain, don't wait for a surprise at customs.
Exactly. Being forewarned is definitely being forearmed in this, let's call it volatile, new trade reality.
It really makes you think, though, doesn't it? Beyond just metal parts. What do these rapid, kind of unpredictable shifts in trade policy, these sudden tariff hikes, temporary truces, what does it all mean for the broader landscape, for global supply chains in general?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah. How might businesses, maybe in your industry listening now, need to adapt their strategies, moving beyond just simple cost calculations? How do you build resilience when the trade framework itself feels so unstable?
It really forces a shift towards thinking about agility, diversification, and maybe even regionalization in a much deeper way than before. Definitely something worth mulling over for your own operations.